Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is very cool. Got to share this with our friends in the Flathead if you haven't heard about it already. In fact, I got a note from our friends at KJJR Radio. Hey, we heard that Ben Shapiro, that's right, the great Ben Shapiro is coming to the Flathead Valley for a campaign event with Tim Sheehy. Look at all these rock stars that are coming to Montana and campaigning alongside Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. I mean, and look at, John Tester has to hide all of his friends. Have you noticed that? John Tester can't bring his friends back here. John Tester has to hide who his friends are. Because he can't bring, because if John Tester brings his friends back here to Montana, you guys are going to be like, oh my goodness. So he does not want you to know who his friends are. But Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, I mean, look at who we've already seen. Donald J. Trump doing the Trump rally at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse. Just earlier this week, Senator Joni Ernst, a fellow combat veteran. She's a combat veteran. She's a U.S. Senator from Iowa. Tom Cotton, another fellow combat veteran, was here on the ground in Montana. They had a huge turnout in Lewistown. And then just this weekend, I think tomorrow in Missoula, Tim Scott, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, is going to be boots on ground in Missoula. See, Tim Sheehy isn't afraid to tell you who his friends are. John Tester doesn't want you to know who his friends are because he is friends with the most radical leftists, because that's who he's voted with. That's who is funding his campaign. But here you go. There's a, I think, now check with the Flathead Republicans or check with the Sheehy campaign. But the link, it's a Save America Kalispell, SaveAmericaKalispell.RSVPFI.com. SaveAmericaKalispell.RSVPFI.com. October 22nd. Man, I can't believe we are already almost in the month of November. So this will be Tuesday, October 22nd. The one and only Ben Shapiro in Kalispell. Looks like it'll be around a lunchtime event. Easier way, if you couldn't remember that website that I just shared with you, you can send an email to info@timformontana.com. info@timformontana.com. We got a lot to talk about here on this Friday morning. We're going to pack a few things in for you here. We've got later on this hour, open phones right now. If you got something you want to talk about, you can call into Montana Talks right now, 406-294-0970. Later this hour of the show, I want to play a legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation. We'll do that around 8:50, 8:40. We've got a woman who saw the impacts of ranked choice voting firsthand, and she's going to be here to tell you, you do not want to vote in support of CI 126 and 127 in Montana. You do not want ranked choice voting in Montana. So that'll be coming up at 8:40. In the meantime, phone lines are open for you, and looks like we got a great caller on the phone lines already, ready to roll. So we'll start with that caller right after this. And you can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. We got highlights from the Al Smith dinner last night and more. Happy Freedom Friday back after this.
Corey.
All right, things are starting to move quick. Things are moving very fast now. Less than 3 weeks to go until Election Day here in Montana. And really, all eyes are on Montana. Well, maybe they shifted a little bit. But huge elections here in Montana heading into November. A lot of you have already voted, but you still want to be heard across Montana because you know some people are just now starting to pay attention. Well, they're going to be paying attention to you when you call in to Montana Talks. We take you statewide every Monday through Friday, 9 to 10.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Oh, this is absolutely genius. Absolute genius maneuver here. So for those of you just jumping in on the conversation with us here, so one of our listeners, Kevin in Billings, He was talking about how he's had this Democrat Party canvasser show up at his door. And I encouraged Kevin and everybody else, you know, when these out-of-state activists propping up liberal Senator John Tester's campaign, when they show up at your doorstep, bake a fresh pot of coffee for them, ask them, you know, where they want, where they see themselves in life 5 years from now, et cetera. Waste as much of their time as possible. Because if you've heard what President Trump is recommending and what other folks are recommending, we are encouraging people to vote as early as possible. Get your vote in. Hand carry that thing, if you can, to your elections office. Get your vote in, because then you free up resources to get out the vote from everybody else and to go get voters to the polls and to convince people who for some reason haven't made up their minds yet to convince them to support, you know, the candidates that you support. So when these Democrats show up at your door, talk to them as long as possible. Kelly Seifert, he's got The Buzz, a nightly news publication up in Glasgow, Montana, on the High Line. And he said, I don't think the article attached, Kelly, if you were trying to attach an article to the email, he said, my mom even baked fresh cookies for the door-to-door Democrat activists when they showed up at her door. Again, take up as much of their time as possible. Slow walk those guys, because the more you consume their resources at your door, that's less of their resources that are going out trying to dupe some voter out there to vote for flip-flop, flat-top, or the rest of the Democrats. So brilliant. Make them some fresh baked cookies if you can. Bless their little hearts. All right, next up, we got Tim in Billings. And the story, if, for those of you who haven't heard this one yet, the Yellowstone County News has a big report. According to Senator John Tester's campaign finance reports, he spent over $200,000 at fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants since January of last year. $60,000 of that was at the, you guessed it, the Bistro Cacao, the fancy French restaurant, the Bistro Cacao. John Tester spent $60,000 recently at that restaurant. That's on top of the $1.2 million that Washington Fat Cat has spent at Washington, D.C. fancy restaurants. Tim and Billings, what's your thoughts? Good to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron. My question is that Montana taxpayers paying for that tab, or is that lobbyists? Either way, it's disgusting, because that is a slap in the face to every Montana taxpayer that's struggling with this Bidenflation right now. And if it's not, it just goes to show why he's the biggest recipient of lobbyist cash of anybody in Washington, not just the Senate, not the House, anybody. And it just reminds me of that old political cartoon where there's that slavishly huge hog in the suit sitting at the table, and all the taxpayers are holding his stool up, and he's stuffing his face, and he's telling the taxpayers, you're just going to have to learn to live on less. Because if there has ever been a caricature of John Tester, that's the one.
Yeah. You know, to answer your question, my assumption here is that the entirety of this recent $200,000 that's reported here, I'm assuming it would be campaign cash that was used, because this is Federal Election Commission data. So you're right. So he's probably spent even more than that at fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants, because this is on the unofficial side. This is on the campaign side. How much has he spent at fancy restaurants using official taxpayer funds that fund his office, right? But I think the other way to answer your question here was this the taxpayers that paid for this, or was this the lobbyists that paid for this? I think you could say both. I think it was Jeff Pattison. Jeff Pattison is a former legislator out of, you know, Valley County, Montana. I ran into him at a Lincoln Reagan dinner in Scobie earlier this year, and he made a great point, because he said, look, I'd get offered meals all the time in Helena, but the point that he makes is that if these lobbyists are buying John Tester these meals, oftentimes these lobbyists are lobbying to get your money, Tim. They're lobbying to get your taxpayer dollars. Yep. to fund their organization or to fund their outfit. And that's why they're up there lobbying you and taking you to these fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants, right? Is because they want Tim's money for their little pet project or their little cause. So, yes, the campaign is paying for it. And, yes, the lobbyists are paying for it. And, yes, you are paying for it, too, more than likely.
If we didn't pay for it on the front end, we're certainly paying for it on the back end, right?
That's right.
I mean, this is disgusting. Here's an idea. They can have this treasure chest of campaign finance money. You know, Tim Sheehy took $1 million of his own money to turn the Billings Clinic ER into a level one trauma center prior to running for office. Maybe John Tester, instead of talking about doing good stuff with money, maybe they should make it legal for them to use that money to where he could actually, hey, let's make these rural healthcare facilities, let's donate this money to them so they could be a little more robust, so they could keep staff, so they could improve their infrastructure, things of that nature. But instead, let's go have cranberry vodka at the Bistro Cacao and eat crab rangoons and
once again,
tacos.
$15 just for the French onion soup alone. Evan Hood wrote for the Yellowstone County News. Yeah, once again, John Tester living high on the hog while you suffer from his inflationary policies and you can't afford the groceries you want to go out and buy because of his massive government spending. But he's living high on the hog, isn't he?
Justice.
Hey, if you want to see the videos of former NFL player Bobcat great Dane Fletcher sounding off on Bozeman City leaders over the transients, over the illegal aliens, over all the crime, both videos are now posted. Go to MontanaTalks.com. You'll see the headline there. Also, if you listen to the Montana Talks podcast, either on the Montana Talks app or Spotify, etc., the full audio when Dane Fletcher called into Montana Talks during Thursday's show, you can find it right there. Best way to get it is through the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got to have a little fun on this Freedom Friday. I have got several great highlights from the Al Smith dinner last night. What is the Al Smith dinner, you might ask? We'll do a scene setter first. But before I get into that, Andy and Whitefish sent us a message here. That's a great reminder, Andy, about the great one, Rush Limbaugh. Andy and Whitefish reminds us how the great Maharishi, the great Maharishi did Operation Chaos. So bake those cookies for those door-to-door Democrat canvassers. Get a fresh pot of coffee going. Just talk their ears off. Ask them as many questions as possible. Consume all their resources so they can't go dupe the next person down the street to try to vote for one of their phony candidates. Operation Chaos and the great Maharishi. Andy and Whitefish, thanks for that reminder. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. I'm going to get to the Al Smith dinner highlights here in just a moment. But first, this is not from the Al Smith dinner. This is from a funeral. But it is so stinking funny that you would think this was from the Al Smith dinner last night in New York City. Former President Bill Clinton, that's right, Bill Clinton, he was biting his lower lip, talking about the children and everything. He was at Ethel Kennedy's funeral. Apparently, Ethel Kennedy, I'm not familiar with Ethel. Ethel is the late widow of Robert F. Kennedy. But anyway, so everybody showed up on the Democrat side practically for Ethel Kennedy's funeral. Joe Biden had some kind of awkward remarks. And as Jesse Waters pointed out last night on his primetime program on Fox News, he said, when Bill Clinton started eulogizing Ethel Kennedy, that's when things got a little bit awkward.
I will tell you this. I thought your mother was a cat's meow. She would flirt with me in the most innocent ways.
The microphone, they're like, do we cut this microphone off now, pretend that we have audio problems or what? And then Joe Biden, not to be outdone, he gets up there and whispers some weird things into the ears of the congregants gathered at the funeral. But then there was this moment. I don't know if you guys saw this headline, thedailycaller.com. The Daily Caller has a story about how Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Obama, they're at the funeral. They're not mic'd up. They're just talking to one another. And Barack, you can see in the video, Barack Obama keeps trying to move away from Joe, and Joe keeps moving in to whisper one more thing into his ear. And but apparently the New York Post, well, I'll let Jesse Waters explain it here.
Okay. But in the pews, the tension was as powerful as the organ pipes. Barack and Biden were caught in the middle of a deep conversation. Now, primetime isn't in the lip reading business, but one professional lip reader tells the Post that Biden told Barack, "She's not as strong as me." Barack, nodding his head, seems to agree. According to this lip reader, Obama tells him, "That's true." The relationship between these two presidents is strained. Biden's off the ticket, and some are second-guessing the switcheroo.
Yeah, in fact, remember it was J.D. Vance after the disastrous interview with Kamala Harris and Bret Baier. J.D. Vance made the joke on X that Democrats are now calling for Joe Biden to be their nominee, to be their candidate once again here. But yeah, a little late for that, isn't it? A little late for that. Here's President Trump at the Al Smith dinner last night. Just one of several highlights we've got for you.
Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening. So here it goes. Nope, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. There's nothing to say. I guess I just don't see the point of taking shots at myself when other people have been shooting at me for a hell of a long time and they shoot at me.
That's just one of the jokes. What is the Al Smith dinner? I think Kevin Cork explains. For Fox News Radio.
The VP chose not to attend the Al Smith dinner in person. First time it's happened in 40 years, although she did attend virtually. Still, the snub was brutal, ruffling feathers, bruising egos, hurting a cause that rises above politics. Meantime, headlining, just as he has many times before, former President Trump. The Harris campaign said she skipped the dinner because she wants to focus on the battleground states.
All right, President Trump, of course, the Al Smith dinner, for those who don't know, it's a big fundraiser, big Catholic fundraiser, goes towards a good cause, and they get, you know, folks in media. They typically get both of the presidential candidates during a presidential election year. In fact, was Mondale the last Democrat presidential candidate who did not show up for the Al Smith dinner? And for those of you who know who Mondale was, that did not work out so well for Mondale either. So apparently snubbing the Jews and snubbing the Catholics is not a good technique for Democrats in New York City. But President Trump said this about the Catholic vote.
All polls are indicating I'm leading big with the Catholic vote, as I should be. But I don't think Kamala has given up yet. She hasn't. Instead of attending tonight, she's in Michigan receiving communion from Gretchen Whitmer. That's not a pretty sight. But Catholics, please don't be too insulted by Kamala's absence. If the Democrats, he says, thank you very much. I appreciate it. If Democrats really wanted to have someone not be with us this evening, they would have just sent Joe Biden.
All right. But really, it was Donald Trump roasting Kamala Harris's running mate, Tim Walz. I think that really captured the night, I think, based off of the highlights that I've seen. You know, when I drive to Missoula later today, I'm going to have to just listen to the Al Smith dinner, President Trump's remarks. I think it's about 30 minutes long based off of what I shared via X.
I used to think the Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods, but then I met Tim Walz.
Oh, there's another one about Tim Walz. I think this one is about Tim Walz here. Well, it's kind of about Kamala and Tim.
There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me.
Oh, man. And seriously, those clips that we just played for you, I think I've got a half dozen more ready to rock and roll. We'll save some more for the 9 o'clock hour of the show because I want to talk about Kamala Harris's anti-Catholic bigotry, especially for our friends in Butte, Montana. Look, Butte, Montana, you know that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and John Tester have been anti-union with what they did to the Keystone Pipeline, with what they did to Colstrip, with what they're trying to do to shut down mining operations in Montana, with what they did to the Stillwater Mine, 700 miners laid off. You know they're anti-mining, but I think we need to be reminded of their anti-Catholic bigotry as well. But we'll have some fun with that one, too, because I'll remind you about the Catholic burgers in Wolf Point and the Wolf Point Wild Horse Stampede and so many things. Brad Molnar wants to get us back on track with the serious news of the day. State Senator Brad Molnar, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Tonight at 6 o'clock at the Billings Library in the community room, my opponent and I will be debating. It is a hostile crowd. It is put on by the Climate Week 2024, which is headed by Tom Tao, and he's going to be the moderator.
Big-time Democrat, yeah.
Why I'm willing to debate there, and it's because I was Shanghaied. If you want to know what that means, you can ask me. But I would like for people to show up. If somebody has a way to record it so that I'm not misquoted later, I would appreciate that. And a quick update on your show, which I so appreciated you giving us an hour to debate. My opponent said and held up a piece of paper that the Public Service Commission can consider environmental externalities, and that's why she went down and protested, and that's why I'm wrong. She admitted in Bozeman a couple nights ago that, indeed, they may not, which did not stop her from going on and on and on about what all she was going to do, and none of which is actually legal for her to even consider when she's a commissioner.
Very interesting. Well, State Senator Brad Molnar, a candidate for the Public Service Commission seat 2, email Travis and I the details of that debate again, just in case, so I can share the details on that debate, especially for our Billings, Bozeman area listeners. And I'll put out another reminder here later in the morning. Thanks for the call. We're getting short on time here. Let's go to Jeff in Polson next up. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, I watched the Al Smith dinner. I'm a lifelong Catholic. It didn't matter to me at all in terms of it. And you're right, President Trump was very, very funny. But two things, he either three or four times mentioned Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, and his troubles with turkeys.
Yeah.
And that was really, really funny. He wasn't digging at Eric Adams. He was digging at the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
For doing to Eric Adams what they had done to President Trump. And so I don't know. I couldn't make out if anybody was uncomfortable with that, but I'll bet there were a few people in the dais who were.
Yeah, Trump made a very important point, didn't he? Well, first off, the funny joke that he shared was, you know, New York City Mayor Adams, you know, for being a vegan, he sure likes turkey, which was a reference to this, indictment against him. But the very important point that he made, which is really no laughing matter, is President Trump, with Mayor Adams in the room, said, "Hey, Eric, the moment you criticized Joe Biden, I knew they were going to hit you with a subpoena." And that's exactly what happened. Jeff, thanks for the call. Matt, I'll sneak in your phone call right after this, and then we've got a guest talking ranked choice.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to sneak in a quick phone call here, and then we've got a great guest joining us on the phone lines to talk about this rank concept known as rank choice voting. Real quickly, though, when I kicked off the hour, I told you about, for those of you in the Flathead Valley or those of you who will travel to the Flathead Valley to go see Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro, he's going to be in the Flathead next week alongside Navy SEAL veteran and Republican U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy. I mentioned how you could probably find info if you get a hold of the Flathead County Republicans. And, yeah, I just got their email update with several updates, including the details on the Ben Shapiro event next week. So there you go. All right, Matt in Billings on the phone lines. What's going on, Matt?
I watched the dinner last night, and one thing I thought Mr. Trump should have said is that he had seen where Doug Emhoff was excited about possibly being the first man to the first presidency, but then Barack reminded him of Big Mike in her 8 years.
Oh, no, that's just wrong. But it's the Al Smith dinner. Comedy is comedy, right?
I think you should have said that. That would have been a good dig at Michelle and a good dig at Barack.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would. Oh, man. Hey, comedy is comedy. But then again, you know, the country and has gone so woke and Hollywood's gone so woke that they don't even let comedians do comedy anymore, let alone presidential candidates at the Al Smith dinner. All right, Matt, great to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call. Next up, yeah, we've got a great guest on the phone lines with us. Apparently, she just had a guest opinion column that was published in several newspapers across the state, the weekly newspapers, and she's talking about the dangers of rake choice voting. Paula Witzel is the former county party chair in San Diego, California. Paula, great to have you on Montana Talks. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, there is so much money pouring in from out of state to try to get Montanans to mess with our elections and install this ranked choice voting style, system. You've seen this firsthand, it sounds like.
Yes, here in the state of California, we actually have a couple cities that already have installed this ranked choice voting. And the reason why I got in, we have San Francisco and Oakland. You know, we really want to follow their examples, right? And the reason why I got involved is because they're trying to bring it next election cycle to San Diego County. And I started looking into it, and once I got really knowledgeable about how it works and the implications for voting, it's definitely an important voting system, and we do not want it here in San Diego County. The problem is if they get it in San Diego County, then they're going to try to take it statewide, and that's why we've got to kill it right at the beginning. But it's a horrible system, and the thing is that they sell it like, you know, warm hugs, puppies, and kumbaya, but when you actually get it, then people realize that it's a really confusing and unpredictable system, because when you're not voting for just your person, you're voting for your top five favorites, now you're voting for people that you normally would never even vote for.
Yeah, and you talk about Oakland, California. I know this might seem like a bit of a side, you know, issue here, but Oakland, California, man, they have just seen such a big downfall because of the rise in crime, because of the woke left liberals, not just running San Francisco, but running Oakland, running so many of these California cities. I was sitting with a friend the other day, and they're visiting baseball parks across the country, and they went to Oakland to watch the Oakland A's because, I mean, Oakland is losing so much. I mean, you know, Las Vegas already got the Raiders, and now they're getting the baseball team too, I think, right?
That's right. That's right. The Oakland A's are hightailing it out of there. And the thing is, one of the aspects that they don't really tell you about is not only is it a convoluted voting system, so voters themselves find it very confusing, so we found that it depresses voter turnout, because what ends up happening is that when a voter can't figure out how in the heck to vote and the whole 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 system is confusing, they end up just saying, to heck with this, I'm not going to go. But the other problem that people are not looking at is it's very expensive. So for the cities or for the state of Montana to institute this type of system, they're going to have two major expenses. One is they're going to have to change their voting system. So the registrar of voters is going to have to implement a whole new system, and that's going to be expensive. And then you have to do voter education, because the idea is that they would educate voters on what exactly ranked choice voting is and how to do it, how to vote. Because if they don't vote correctly, one of the aspects of ranked choice voting is your ballot is what they call exhausted, which means they throw it in the trash. So that's one of the other big problems with ranked choice voting is that some people's votes are counted multiple times, other people's votes are thrown in the trash. And that defies our one person, one vote concept that we have here in the United States, and it just is not logical for most people. How do you vote for your favorites and then your vote gets tossed depending on who you vote for?
Well, Alaska already experimented with this, and now they're trying to put the horse back in the barn.
That is correct. They instituted ranked choice voting statewide in 2020. They ran one election cycle with ranked choice voting in 2022. And now in 2024, they have a ballot measure that they will be voting on in November to repeal it. Now, the other side has taken the grassroots people who put this on the ballot to court, Alaska Supreme Court, three times. And so far, they've prevailed, so it will be on the ballot, and they expect it to pass. But just to use Alaska as an example, when they passed it, they were told, no, this is easy. It's going to actually save you money. And they budgeted $150,000 to be able to implement the system and do voter education. They spent $3.1 million, and people did not go out to vote because they didn't understand it. So voter turnout was depressed, and so it was a big failure. And that is one of the reasons why they are now looking to repeal it.
Well, I think one of the best examples I heard, somebody tried to put it in plain English, why people should oppose CI-126 and CI-127. And while we're at it, don't vote for CI-128 either, is what our listeners are telling folks. But they said, look, we've in Montana, we've got the Montana State Bobcats. We've got the University of Montana Grizzlies, big in-state rivalry, right? And what CI-126 is trying to do, Cannon Laurel said, would the Montana State Bobcats have the Montana Grizzlies pick their coach or pick who their team's going to be? And would the Grizzlies have the Bobcats decide who their coach is going to be? That's effectively what they're trying to do with this. They're trying to confuse our elections process in the general election.
And the other problem from a political standpoint, which is where I always look at things also, is that you have different constituencies put money behind a candidate that, you know, you have your favorite candidate, so you get grassroots people and donors funding that person's campaign because you believe in what they're standing for. But with ranked choice voting, it's going to be an issue because if your candidate does not get through the first round with 50% plus one, now you start going through the multiple recounts, the multiple rounds of counting until someone gets 50% plus one. Now, the problem is, so really from a political standpoint, you have a group that wants to support a particular candidate. If they don't get through in the first round, it becomes a jump ball. Who in the heck knows what's going to happen in round two, round three, round four, round five, depending on how many candidates there are. It becomes very uncertain and convoluted, and it makes it very difficult for the political process and the people who want to support their candidate.
Well, Paula Witzel, it's been great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for your time this morning. Thanks for trying to warn Montanans of what these out-of-state interests are trying to do here in Montana because, you know, the Democrats screwed up California and the Democrats run the Montana – the California Democrats run the Montana Democrats as well. So we know that's where they get all their ideas from.
Yeah.
Paula, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
I have friends from California that have already moved to Montana. So.
Well, the political refugees, they bailed. They had to finally get the heck out of there. It's just so crazy.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Crazy.
Paula, thanks for your time. Great to have you here on Montana Talks. Coming up after the break, we're going to play the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation. Jeff Lasloff, he's got an update for us here this week. We'll get to that after the break. So if you want to jump in on the phone lines, give us a call back in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll have phone lines open later on in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Speaking of candidates, do you have a candidate to win a $50,000 prize? That's right. This is for a Montana veteran. Do you have a Montana veteran that you would like to nominate to be a candidate for $50,000 worth of services from Yellowstone Family Dental? If you are that veteran, if you know a veteran who could benefit from this. If they've got a bunch of dental problems, if they've got a bunch of dental work that needs to be done, I'm talking about dental implants for the upper set of teeth, dental implants for the lower set of teeth. This is a $50,000 value. They're going to pick a winner in, I think, like a couple of weeks, a little over a couple of weeks. Nominate a Montana veteran today for dental implants from Yellowstone Family Dental. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com, MontanaDentalImplants.com. You can also inquire for the services for yourself if that's something you're needing.
Your Morning Espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
They started... And she doesn't want to answer. How many illegals do you believe came into the country? She doesn't want to answer the question. She didn't want to answer any question. You know, I mean, there was so many different moments. And for her to say, like on the issue of giving sex change operations to felons and illegal immigrants, I will follow the law. I will follow the law. That wasn't the question. What is your position? What do you think the law should be? And what will you advocate for as president? That is the question here. When you have the 79% of Americans thinking the country is on the wrong track, why would anybody vote for that?
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Like it or not, crime is a reality all of us face. Every day we hear about violent incidents, often closer to home than we think. So how are you preparing to protect yourself and your family from these threats? Now, you need a plan that doesn't carry the lethal or mental burden of using a firearm. Now, that's where Byrner, the less lethal launcher, comes in. It's your safe, effective defense solution. And the Byrner launcher is equipped with a powerful non-lethal deterrence, including tear gas, kinetic rounds. You can hit a target 50, 60 feet away. You can stop a perpetrator in their tracks for up to 40 minutes. Now, Byrner's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a background check. You don't need a permit. And you can join thousands of satisfied customers, including over 500 government agencies and police departments who have left over 15,000 five-star reviews. Just go to Byrner.com/Hannity. You'll get 10% off any purchase. That's Byrner.com/Hannity. Check out their videos. Protect what matters without compromise.
935-59624.
All right, things are starting to move quick. Things are moving very fast now. Less than 3 weeks to go until Election Day here in Montana. And really, all eyes are on Montana. Well, maybe they shifted a little bit, but huge elections here in Montana heading into November. A lot of you have already voted, but you still want to be heard across Montana because you know some people are just now starting to pay attention. Well, they're going to be paying attention to you when you call in.
Nobody beats a Bob Smith deal. Nobody.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
Well, it's here, the moment we've been waiting for. Mail-in ballots are being sent, and by this time next week, many of you will have made your choices in the 2024 general election. While all of the races are important, I'm watching six races in particular. The first three are all proposed amendments to the Montana Constitution. All of them are being funded with out-of-state dollars. All of them seek to change the culture of Montana, and in my opinion, all of them are bad and should be rejected. The first is CI 126, a proposal to create a nonpartisan top four primary election scheme. It's being sponsored by a group of embittered moderate Republican legislators who got ousted for voting more like Democrats. CI 126 creates a system that waters down Montana's conservative majorities in the hopes that liberal candidates can sneak by. It would create a California-style open primary system with an unlimited number of candidates running without a party affiliation if they so choose. Dark money will flood the system and candidates will be elected on name ID alone. This is exactly the problem we have with our judicial races. This is a solution in search of a problem. Only one other state uses this system and they're trying to get rid of it. Let's not break what's not broken. I'm voting no on CI 126. CI 127 is also being funded by the same group of out-of-state donors. This would require that candidates must win by more than 50% of the vote. It's on the ballot to soften the threat of CI 126, which could cause three conservatives in a race to split the vote and allow a liberal to win with far less than a majority of the votes. Once again, it's a solution in search of a problem, and it's not necessary. CI 127 is trying to fix a problem caused by CI 126. I'm voting no on both. That leaves us with CI 128, the most radical pro-abortion measure ever to be on the Montana ballot. It would allow late-term abortions up to the moment of birth, would ban parental notification for a minor seeking an abortion, would allow unlicensed providers to perform abortions, and language hidden in the measure would give constitutional standing to the transgender movement. You can read a full analysis by constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson on our website at montanafamily.org. CI 128 is also funded by out-of-state interests bent on changing Montana's culture. It places women at risk, and I'm voting no. In fact, I'm voting no on all of the constitutional amendments because it's a safe and prudent thing to do. When it comes to the U.S. Senate race, I'm voting for Tim Sheehy. I know John Tester personally. He was the Senate Minority Leader when I was the Speaker Pro Tem of the House of Representatives. He's a nice guy, but his politics are closely aligned with Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris, and these are not the values of a majority of Montanans. And finally, I'm tracking the two open seats on the Montana Supreme Court. Fortunately, in these cases, the choices are black and white. There's no gray area. For the Chief Justice seat, conservative Corey Swanson, the Broadwater County Attorney, is facing off against liberal former federal magistrate Jeremiah Lynch, a Bill Clinton appointee. In the Associate Justice race, it's conservative District Court Judge Dan Wilson against radical liberal District Court Judge Kathleen Bitigeri. As a conservative, I'm voting for Swanson and Wilson. It's easy to remember. I think of Swanson and Wilson as the two sons of Montana. In 30 days, it'll all be over. The races will be tight, and your vote is critical. If you're registered, please cast a ballot. If you're not registered, please get registered and then vote. Our country and our state hang in the balance. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of Montana Talks, Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana kicks off the hour. Then Eigen Graf. We're going to talk housing and more with the great Eigen Graf, a great home builder in the Bozeman area, involved nationally as well. And then open phones for the second half of the show.